Hashtag show.co.uk.
We're back. First episode as a married man, heroes. First episode as a married man. Does it feel different? No, it doesn't. And as I'm saying that, I realise I don't have my wedding ring on. Oh, we're off to an absolute flyer. Recording the first episode as a married man, I realise I don't have my wedding ring on because I've we've just returned from a wedding. I mean, you think from that very situation alone, only a week in from being married, I would have it forged to my finger. You think that the good lady, the now Mrs. Gibson, would wake up in the middle of the night with a needle and thread and somehow sew the finger to the ring in order that it becomes one, in the off chance that her new husband should dare to remove his ring from the finger of destiny, that it would be he would find it to be stitched on. He would find it to be stitched to his finger, unable to leave his body, even under the situation where a man, I don't know what the situation would be, it could be a woman, a non-binary person, puts a gun to my head and says, remove the finger. Or even remove the ring. I don't know why I want my finger. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is, I've taken the ring off. Not because there's anything wrong with the marriage. We are a week in. It's wonderful. Nothing has changed. Everything's fantastic. It's all sugar lumps and rainbows. However, we've just returned from a wedding here. It is a nice day. We haven't had a nice day since 1946 in Scotland. And by nice day, what I mean is, it's been dry for longer than 26 minutes. So I've taken that chance to reopen the pub shed. As I sit here speaking what will probably be nonsense for the next hour plus for the heroes, become a hashtag hero on Patreon, patreon.com/thehashtagshow. As I sit here talking to you now, the pub shed is open. The cock and dolphin. The fox and biscuit. You know? The golden triangle. The waffle and chicken. The hoof. The hoof and hound. The fox and hound. The fox and badger. Whatever two animals you wish to put together, you can create the pub name. Also a fun game to play at home. A fun drinking game to play with your friends is to create your pub name. And how you do that is you look around the room and you find an object. I'm looking in the corner. There is a stool there. So you go stool, and the first word that comes into your head, weasel. The stool and weasel. Again, great pub name. Try it at home. Anything you like. There's a kettlebell in front of me that the missus used to work out to build those guns and glutes, because she's got what an arse on her. Again, kettlebell, first animal that comes into your head, hawk. Is the hawk an animal? I don't know. The kettlebell and hawk. Boom. Pub name sorted. The hawk and kettlebell. Turn it backwards on itself. Sometimes it's even better. I probably need to make a decision on the pub name. But I like to just mix it up, you know. I'm very much, the name of my pub runs like an American sweet shop. I do not sell high fructose containing candy. What I mean by that is I shut it down and change the name so the tax man can't get to me month upon month. I think when the pub first opened, it was the Fox and Hound. And then it was the Cock and Badger. And so we've just reopened the pub shed. And I know this is a long stroll down a cul-de-sac to tell you why I've removed my wedding ring. But I was, we were body bleach. Bod Eatin' Bleach. Again, great pub name. Just now I'm doing the Bod Eatin' Bleach thing for a half and half. Bod Eatin' Bleach, getting the crap out of the pub shed, back into the normal shed, reapplying the furniture coverings to the furniture, getting it all set up. And as I was cleaning, I took the wedding ring off, because what I've noticed is, it's taken a bit of getting used to wearing the ring. I've also seen some people, like, wash their hands in a urinal. Not in a urinal. That'd be a strange place to wash your hands. Washing their hands in a gentleman's water closet. Washing our hands in uranium. Imagine that. There's something for the fucking lefties to get a hold of next. Right? I know that we're going to talk about that BBC thing in a minute, but I know that we're still very much on that. We've got to save the planet and everything's dying. That'll be the next step. You know, they're already, we're a couple of months away for them telling you to wash your clothes in like fucking tap water. Remember the old days when we used to say that you had to wash clothes at 40 degrees and all of the clothing had the 40 degrees handle to let you know that if you don't wash your clothes at 40 degrees, then you can't get all the stink and pus and spunk out of your shirts. So this whole bullshit about washing your clothes at 30 is fucking garbage, and you wonder why your clothes fucking stink. It's because you're washing your clothes in cold water, you fucking wankstain.
Your clothes are meant to be washed in hot fucking water. I think we are a few months away from the government telling us to just wash your clothes in fucking dishwater. Don't turn your wash machine on, son. What the day is this? Run a bucket of water from the tap, put all your fucking clothes in it, a little squirt of fairy liquid, and then sit it in front of the sofa and simply mash your feet like you're turning the churn. As you sit and watch the television with your family, get all your fucking stinking feet in there and just churn your clothes till they're fresh and clean. That's what we're going to be.
But I had I observed someone the other day, a gentleman. Now I don't make a thing of watching men in the gentleman's water closet, but he just happened to catch my eye. This guy washing his hands. Quite aggressively. Now, obviously I wash my hands when I go to the toilet. You know, because it's what you're taught, right? I have very rarely, let me state that again, very rarely have I pissed on my own hands. Very rarely. In my 39 years on the planet, I could maybe count in one hand the times it's happened, and I would say either all of them are when I was crawling, or intoxicated. Very rarely, if ever, have I pissed all over my hands sober. It does not happen. Nor have I gone for a shit in public and then wiped shite all over my hands. It does not happen. Again, I, like most grown, normal people, try very hard to avoid shitting in public. And by that, I don't mean walking onto a golf course and trying to fill up a hole. What I mean by that is being out in the wild. Whether that be at your work, whether that be in a cafe, whether that be in a shopping centre or a supermarché, it is highly uncommon for me to do a shit in public, right? But I'll still wash my hands. Even though, you know, you probably could get away with it. And maybe that's where fucking Thunberg and the lefties need to go. They need to tell us to stop washing our hands. Stop washing your hands unless you piss on them. They're fucking good to go. Anyway, this is a lot of cul-de-sacs today, Gibble. Washing my hands, and I happened to notice the gentleman next to me because he was very aggressively going, pumping the soap dispenser as if it was a an unwanted child, you know, and a disobedient wife, and he's having a fucking jabber, stabbing away at a soap dispenser. I don't know how much soap he had on his hands from the dispenser, but it was an aggressive lather that the man had built up. And through the lather, I noticed a rather. That's a fucking tongue twister. Say that fast 10 times. Through the lather, I wrote. Through the lather. I noticed a rather. Somebody did a note of that. This is the hashtag for the week. Hashtag through the lather. I noticed a rather. Through the lather, I noticed a rather large piece of metal on his finger. Quite a thick wedding ring. Possibly doubles as a cock ring. I don't know. But a rather thick band on his finger. And he's aggressively fucking going for it, man. And
That started because I then washed my hands, you know, copying the gentleman. Didn't go, I just went a single pump on the soap dispenser. I'm not a monster, you know, I'm not a monster. A single pump is all you need in life. That's the motto of the hashtag show. One pump and done, all right? That's all you need. If you find yourself out in public and you're washing your hands and there's a soap dispenser, one pump is all you need. Pump and go, my man. Pump and go. Don't be like this guy. Aggressively smashing at that button. Pump and go. One pump. Build up a good lather. And I washed my hands, and that's the first time I washed my hands with the ring on. Because up to that point, I'd taken it off in the shower, and I'd taken it off when I was at home in my own bathroom. And I didn't like the sensation of the water under my ring, as not many of us do. So, again, to go back to a story we were talking about fucking, God, 10 minutes ago now. As we were setting up the pub shed, we had to disinfect some stuff, clean some stuff off, and I took the wedding ring off, and it's now on the windowsill in the kitchen, and I forgot to put it back on. And I'm sitting here recording the first podcast as a married man without the wedding ring, and I feel naked. So please don't read anything into it. We are very happily married. Everything's going fantastically, swimmingly well. I forgot to put my ring on. But, you know, we can't, I mean, continuity is a big thing of the show, so we can't stop now and go and put the ring on, because some of you will be watching this, and you'll see there's no ring, you know, and then you're watching it after the 30-minute free bit for the scum, and you might go, oh, the big man's got his ring on, and you might think to yourself, oh, what's happening here, you know? But maybe I'll put it on for the heroes, maybe I'll put the wedding ring back on for the heroes. So if you want to see the wedding ring, become a hashtag hero. It's the only way to do it. It's the only way actually to get every single episode in its entirety and to continue to support the show. You do that by going to Patreon, patreon.com/thehashtagshow and signing up for like £4. I mean, it's fucking pennies, £1 a week for a full episode. For all this joy, plus the back catalogue, plus extra stuff, because there's other things going to have to be happening. It's going to have to happen pretty soon. But there you go. Right, we should probably start this episode. We've got a lot to talk about. I need to talk about the wedding. I was just at a wedding. I don't know how much I can talk about that because it is a friend of my missus. So, you know, I'll just say it's the best wedding I've ever been to. And we'll leave it at that. But I'll talk about my breakfast. I've got some listeners' questions. I have got some topics to talk about. And I've got a question as well from Cy Anderson that I missed the last time and we need to pick up. So let's get into this. Let's get into this episode. Unbuckle your pants, sit back, you know, get ready to laugh or cry. Who knows? But, you know, you're safe. You're safe. It's the hashtag show. Let's go. I'm having one of those days where I cannot get enough moisture in my body. I don't know if you've experienced this yourself. There is a thirst that I have that I cannot quench. Now, as I've said that, I'm actually also thinking, when was the last time I said the word quench? Do not know. Said it twice now. I've taken on coffee. I've had a cup of tea. I've had two cans of Coke Zero. I've had a litre of water. And I cannot quench this thirst. It's as if my body's saying, drown me, big man. Give me all the liquid you can. Now, again, I don't know if this is something Davey's setting up the pub shed and seeing all those beautiful spirits and ciders and beers that I've got in there, my body's going, get it fucking in me. I don't know. But we may have to take a little 5-minute break at the break, you know, when we get rid of the council scum and move into the real hero section of the show. Because, you know, your old dad needs, I need to be quenched. Right, couple of things to talk about. We need to talk about the wedding. We need to talk about something else as well. There's a lot of things been on my mind recently. I have. I'll open up first of all, right? Let's open up. Let's get the emotional stuff out of the way. I'll let you peek behind the wizard's sleeve, and then we can try and move ourselves into some joyful things, right? I have been thinking a lot about dates recently. Not dates as in, you know, swipe left. Dates as in numerical dates. A lot of things have happened, obviously. The, you know, Mal, we lost Mal on the 4th of January, Mal had passed. No, here we go. We're already getting fucked up. The 4th of January was the last time that I saw Mal face to face. Which I've been reliving a lot in my head recently as well. And I think it's to do with getting married. I think it's to do with not feeling that rushed is the wrong word to say, but a lot around the wedding was pushed in the hope that I could have Mal there, or we could have Mal there, because it means a lot to Laura as well, but that we could have Mal there. And that wasn't to be the case. You know, it wasn't to be, it wasn't going to be that way. And there's nothing that anybody could have done about it. But there's a lot of dates that are playing over and over in my head. So I last saw Mal on the 4th of January. He passed on the 4th of February. And we got married on the 4th of April. And this number 4 keeps surfacing up again. And I'm saying hopefully, we're going to do something in the summer for the podcast and for Mal. And I want to get a couple of people together to do, you know, not necessarily a remembrance thing, because I don't want it to be sad, because there's nothing, Mal never brought any sadness to any of our lives. You know, it was the complete opposite. Everything that he did brought absolute joy to all of our lives. Everything he did, whether it was music, whether it was his art, whether it was this podcast, everything that he did, he brought joy to our lives. And I don't want, you know, this thing that I've got in my head, I don't want it to be a remembrance in the sense of, you know, the sadness of his loss. I want it to be a celebration of him and of what he's done. So I was looking at some dates, and nothing's going to be announced yet, but I'm hopefully maybe going to try and plan something for around the first Sunday in August, which of course is the 4th of August. And it's just this number 4 keeps playing over and over in my head. And I was thinking, even today we're in the car and I'm driving, and I saw a thing on the news this morning before we got in the car, and it was saying like today is National Parkinson's Day. And I was like, I mean, literally everyone's got a day now. Everything has a day. There isn't a day of the year that passes without it being some significance to someone or something, you know. And that's been playing in my head as well, because I keep going over this number four, is that something that's now important to me? And then I'm going, well, it depends on what you look for. If you look hard enough, you'll always start to see patterns in things, or you'll always be able to find some way of connecting a negative emotion or a positive emotion to any situation that you're in. You know, if a run of bad things happen to you, there's a way in which you can find the pain and all of those things to connect to something in your life. Same way, if there's a run of good things happening, you'll find a way to connect all of that.
Maybe that's the cosmic spirits of the universe talking to us, my man, and how we all connect that stuff.
But my point being, there's always a negative and a positive to every situation. Now, we've gone through a hell of a lot of negatives recently. A positive off the back of that might be me getting married. I don't know. But I suppose with everything, there is a positive and negative. And that again was highlighted this morning, because I woke up today in a hotel. We went to a wedding on Wednesday. And I turned the news on, as I do in the morning. Listen to that for a wee bit. It was saying that it was National Parkinson's Day. I'm going, fucking hell, everyone's got a day. Is this something we want to celebrate? I don't know. Is it just raising awareness for people with Parkinson's, for a campaign thing, for, you know, raising money? I don't know. And as I'm in the car, we're driving, I'm listening to Absolute Country, because what else would you listen to while you're driving? And it said that today is National Fondue Day. And I thought, there you go. Again,
it's the cosmic universe.
It has spoken, because every positive has a negative. And what better 2 days would you put together than Parkinson's and National Fondue Day? They merge perfectly, like a dovetail joint. Because, and you're going, Gibble, you're stretching here. Let me say this to you. If you've had Parkinson's, fondue is probably the best meal that you can have. It's probably the best meal you could have. Fondue is probably the perfect meal for somebody with Parkinson's. As I'm saying this, I'm going against my own argument. You get a wee bit of bread, you dip it in a pot, and then you need to swirl it round. Or, if you want, give it a little fucking Parky shake. Again, it comes together perfectly. What could we pair National Fondue Day with Parkinson's Day? Get the two together. Celebrate Parkinson's Day by holding a fondue party in the house. That's what you need to do. Get little bits of bread, cured ham, pickles and cheese, and dip it in a white wine cheesy sauce, and then fucking shake away. Shake like the Parkinson's person you are. Coat that little piece of bread in delicious cheesy wine goodness, and then fucking enjoy it. Now, yes, you might need to get that wee special fork that stops the shakes so you can get it in your mouth, but then maybe that makes it more fun for the family. You know? Once you've got it in a cheesy stick, you bring it out and it's full on Parky, and you throw it across the room and you fucking catch it in the air. I don't know. I can't plan it all out for you. I'm just saying that, you know, with every positive, there's a negative, and everything goes together, and you look for the good in everything. You look for the good in everything is the message I'm trying to say here. But the wedding went very well. It was a great day. The only dry day of the week. We could not have worked out any better. Originally, we were getting married on a Tuesday, and we had to move it because they couldn't give us the time slot anymore, so we moved it to the Thursday. And if we had have been married on the Tuesday, I think the wedding reception may have been in Norway, because the rain in Glasgow on Tuesday was fucking biblical. It would have washed us down the Clyde. So the fact that it was moved to Thursday meant that we got a dry day, and it was brilliant. And the fact that it moved to Thursday as well meant that it was on the 4th, and it wasn't until I was looking over the old WhatsApp group with me, Mal and Ross that I realised how important the 4th has been. And it's been sticking with me a lot this week, man. I last saw him on the 4th. He passed on the 4th, and I got married on the 4th. And since we're going down this road as well, we might as well just get it all out, Gibble. I've been putting the podcasts off each week because it's been getting more and more difficult. I thought I was coming to terms with the fact that. It's not so much coming to terms with the fact that I'm now doing this on my own. It's more coming to terms with the fact that I'm never going to get to do it with him again. That's where the issue is. And I'm now realising that. And I'm trying to accept that and deal with it. And that's where the problem has been. Because I've always thought that the problem has been me. The problem's me. The problem has been, I'm the problem. The problem has been, I thought the problem was that I wasn't comfortable doing this on my own again. I wasn't comfortable doing solo things. I wasn't comfortable putting these out under the banner of the hashtag show myself. I wasn't comfortable talking to Ross about coming on as a guest. I wasn't comfortable about talking to Sherry about coming on as a guest. I wasn't comfortable about thinking about ideas to do with the show because I was doing it on my own. But the reality of it is I'm still uncomfortable with the fact that I can't do it with Mal anymore. That's what I'm struggling with now. And I think it's just hit me in the last 3 weeks. I've been kind of really struggling again with it because I'm now just having to force myself to accept that I'll never get to do this with him again. And when I get everything set up to record, and I'm desperately trying, I'm hopefully going to go and see a friend of mine who's I suppose he's a journalist now as well, but he works for the BBC, and he's a very, very talented videographer and editor, journalist, producer. He's a man with many hats. But I'm hopefully going to meet up with him soon, because I need to get some advice on streamlining this down, because it still takes me about 40 minutes to set everything up, and it's not a very easy process. And I thought to myself that I was getting kind of worked up a wee bit and kind of angry with myself because this was taking so long to organise and get the camera in place and set the lights up and do the sound checks and do the edits and all that. And I'm only just realising that this is becoming so difficult for me because this is what I would do with Mal. This is what I would do with him. I would set all this up. It never bothered me before. I would log into the Zoom. I'd send him a message. I would tell him, we're ready to record. I would send him the same message every single week. I would say, ready to go, Shagger. That's what I would say every single week. And as soon as I sent that WhatsApp, I would go in to the kitchen. I'd make a coffee. I'd come back. He still wouldn't be on. And then we would record the show. And I think that's all just coming to a head again. And I don't know why. And I don't know if this is just going to be an ongoing thing where it's just going to keep coming back in floods every now and again and hit me. But yeah, I think that's where the uncomfortable feeling that I've got doing the show now is from. And it's just from the fact of kind of getting, you know, falling back into that routine of sitting here and, you know, pressing record and then just realising that I'm on my own, and realising on top of that, you know, it's forever going to be me and I'm not going to see my mate again. And that's the real hard bit that's hitting me there now. So that's where we are. That's where we are. We try and keep it light, but, you know, we've got to talk about these things because we're still in a world where men don't talk enough and we don't really know what to say. So this is my therapy. I'm sorry that you're a part of it, but I say these things out loud and maybe it resonates with a few of you. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know, but it's still a fucking shit time, man, you know. I still miss my mate terribly. I still miss him terribly. But that's never going to leave us. So, I would like to do something. And I'm thinking August time, because that will be 6 months since Mal passed. And I would like us to get together, all of us, and have a celebration and try and raise a wee bit of money for either the hospice or something. I think that would be a good thing to do. But we'll keep that in the back burner at the moment, and we'll get some planning done on that. But the wedding itself, it was an amazing day, man. It was an amazing day. And thanks to all my family and friends who made it along. You've made it an absolutely incredible day. I was shitting myself. Absolutely shitting myself. Laura and one of our best friends, Vicky, went and stayed in the hotel the night before the wedding, which at the time I thought was a good idea. And then on the day, it annoyed me because I was in the house with the dogs, walking the dogs, getting the house sorted for the dog sitter to come around. And they're fucking in Glasgow staying in a 5-star hotel in a massive corner suite, fucking living their best life. And I went, that should be fucking me in that suite. That should be fucking me in that suite, and you should be fucking here sorting the dogs. How is this happening? But I got up, never slept a wink the night before. Literally did not sleep a wink the night before. I don't know why this unbelievable nervousness, I don't know where it came from, but I was so nervous the night before my wedding. Completely unjust. I hadn't been nervous or worried up to that point, and then the night before it, could not sleep. On the day of the wedding, got up super early, tried to eat something, took the dogs out for a big walk, came back, spoke to Ross, he was babbing me up. By the time I got dressed to leave, I had done 4 shits. Now, I'm not talking like I'd been to the bathroom 4 times. I had done 4 full-blown jobbies. 4. Not 1, not 3, 4 full-blown shits. I don't know where it came from. I don't know what it was. I don't know if the human body is capable of storing that much shit. But four full shites came out of me. But the fourth one, I was genuinely worried. I even phoned Ross back when, I've done four shites today, mate. We went in, 23 Montrose Street, the registry office in Glasgow. That's where we got married. In we went. The room was lovely, set up. And then, again, just got very nervous in the room. The guy came up to me, who was the celebrant, or whatever they're called, and it was 10 past one. We're meant to be getting married at 1:30, and it was 10 past one. And he said to me, the bride has arrived. And I went, thank fuck for that. And then he said, do you want to go early? Because everybody's here. And I said, if that's okay with you, let's do that. And he went, no problem. And then he went, I'm going to go and tell the bride. So he went away, and for 20 minutes, no one reappeared. For 20 minutes, right? So he's kept me at 10 past one and went, you're meant to get married at 1:30. Everybody's here. Do you want to go early? Yes, please. And then for 20 minutes, he's fucking disappeared. So I am pacing the room, shite myself, thinking, she's no one to go through with it. She doesn't want to get married. Obviously, that's fucking nonsense because who doesn't want to marry the big man? And you know what, hen? See, if you don't want to fucking marry me, there's a line of fucking hotties desperate for that bit of the big man. She wanted to get married, right? But he has gone into her and said, let's keep him waiting and make him sweat. Now, why would you do such a thing? Why would you do such a thing? You fucking cunt. You already know I'm nervous because I told you I'm nervous. Why would you then go in and go, let's make him wait for 20, no, 5 minutes. 20 fucking minutes. You cunt. So I had to stand there. Shiting myself. Then we started. She walked in. Of course, as my wonderful wife is, great sense of humour. Had a very unique walk on music. Is it walk on music? Walk on. Is it walk on music? Bridal march. What is the music called? Walk on music. Entrance music. I don't know. Whatever. She had a very unique entrance song. And she looked fucking stunning. She looked absolutely incredible. She looked absolutely, absolutely knockout fucking beautiful, as she always does. And it wasn't at all what I was expecting. I can't actually remember because, you know, my memory is terrible, but I can't remember if she told me what the dress looked like. But it wasn't even a dress. It was like a bridal jumpsuit. If that's such a thing. But it was not at all what I thought it was going to be. And she just looked absolutely stunning. I will never forget turning around and seeing her. And just how relieved I was that she was there. How relieved I was that she was there. And that she was smiling. And then it was very quick. Again, not that I thought the service bit was going to be long. But it was very quick. Done. Again, for someone who has done a lot of public speaking, if you want to call it that, I was just so fucking nervous. And even when he's going, repeat after me, I, fatso, fatso, will take this beautiful woman who's clearly, settled for you to be my wife. I couldn't even when he's reading it two words at a time, I was still struggling to fucking remember the words to say. But it was great. Married, we went up to the Barris to get some pictures taken because that's a place that means a lot to both Laura and I. And then we went to the Buttery for private dining for food. Food was lovely. The people in the Buttery were amazing. If you're looking for a place to go for dinner, I would highly recommend going in there because the food that we had for the private dining was incredible. I cannot wait to go back and have the a la carte upstairs. But the staff are amazing, so if you're looking for a place to go, go in there, and then the plan was to go to the casino. And both sets of parents said they weren't sure if they were going to go, so we decided to go back to the hotel because we had this massive fucking corner suite in the Radisson Blue. It was fucking huge. And we took 20 of us in there with the idea of having a drink, and we ended up being in for nearly 2 hours partying. Wister Worldwide made an appearance, if you've seen the pictures of Ross and my Aunt Leslie's fucking fur coat. Man, Leslie was steaming drunk, blind drunk, man. She's telling people she used to cut up dicks for a living. She was a nurse. She wasn't a, you know, like a mental case, but she specialised in the Bobby. Again, the best way to bring it up as well, nobody asked, just randomly dropped in the conversation, as a drunken person does. People are talking away going, yes, I'm thinking about taking £10,000 out of the house to build an extension. I used to cut up penises. And she's one of the people where the more she drinks, the smaller she gets as well. So she was kind of just starting to shrink down to nothing. But we had a great night, man. Vicky got put to her bed about 7:30. She was done. She was becoming so drunk, she was becoming liquid. She was just starting to melt into a chair. And then we went to the casino and we had a fucking brilliant laugh. And we had some drinks. And yeah, just a fucking great day. Just a brilliant day. Just very, very fast. Such a fast day looking back. But a laugh, an absolute scream from start to finish. And if anybody is thinking about getting married, fucking do it, man. Having a wife is brilliant. Honest, I've never had one before. It's fucking great. Right, nothing's changed. We're still the same. We still laugh. I still fancy the fucking pants off her. But it's just, it's cool. Feels different. It does, it feels different. I can't explain it to you, but it does. It's a man thing, right? And I know that that's no an explanation, and it's a cop-out, but it is. It just feels good having a wife. It feels good to say, that's my wife. I don't know why it does, it just does. And there's something in you that clicks and turns and go, I want to be a better man. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's why, you know, you're meant to get married and have kids. It does something to you, changes you, changes your thinking. Maybe that's what men need. Maybe we are, you know, we're quite binary. We're very, you know, 0-1, black and white, forward thinking. Keep moving, man. I'm not a shark. If I say still, I'll die. Those steps of your life, you have kids. I've missed that stage. You know, but I'm married now. I'm a husband. It means something. Or it doesn't. It depends, I suppose, on who you are. It depends on you as a person. You can either take it to mean something, or you can take it to be meaningless. As with most things in your life, you can get married, become a husband, have a wife, and you can take that to mean something or choose for it to be meaningless. And I choose for it to mean something. I now am someone's husband, and that means something. That is an important thing. You have got someone other than yourself who is now more important in your life, and it should be. And your job is to look after them, to love them, to provide for them, to care for them, and keep them safe. That's your job. That's your job, is the way I see it. And if you're married now, and you don't think that's your job, fucking get a divorce, you cunt, and let her find somebody who will think like that. And if you're not married, get married, because it's a fucking great day. It's a great day, and it's a good laugh. And here's my advice for you. Make it small. Make it small. Make it manageable. Because two things. One, you'll spend less money. Before the wedding, I went and got my Le Beard trimmed, right? By the fucking tux. And I was talking to one of the boys, and he was telling me that he got married and he spent £22,000 on the wedding, which made me think, fuck me, there's money in cutting beards. And then he said that when he got divorced, that's right, kids, divorced, they were still paying for the wedding. So the loan that they got for the wedding lasted longer than the actual marriage. So here's my advice to you. Anybody out there who's getting married or thinking about getting married, keep it small. Keep it small because you'll spend less money, and then secondly, you'll make it better for the people there. You'll make it better for the people there. If you have 100 people at your wedding, 150 people, 200 people, believe me when I say this, no matter how much they love you, no matter how much they tell you it was great, it will be a fucking shit day for them. It'll be a shit day because there'll be far too much waiting about. There'll be far too much moving. It'll be a shit day for them. Keep it small. Give everybody a good day. And here's another thing. See this dayless and nightless? Scrap it. See if you don't want somebody coming to your wedding to celebrate your wedding, don't invite them at night. Fuck them. Fuck them. Write a list of nighttime guests and then put a big line through it and say, fuck them, and just concentrate on your daytime guests. and have a small wedding and have a great day. That's the way you do it. Because you're maybe sitting there going, oh, but see if I don't invite fucking so-and-so and Fred and Jeannie and Sandra and Margaret. Who gives a fuck? Who cares? The reality of it is, if they get pissed off about no coming to your wedding, they're cunts. Fuck them. And then a lot of times you'll have nighttime guests who will come and they'll go, I can't believe I was invited. I don't even want to be here. I'm just coming because I want to show face. Forget it, man. Keep it small. Have a laugh. Have a good feed. And enjoy life. You know? Get married. That's my advice to you. Get married. It's fucking great. I mean, I'm a week in. Ask me in a year's time if it's great. Maybe a different story. It'll still be great. She's wonderful. She's wonderful. She's standing behind the camera. I'm joking. She's not. But get married, kids. It's fucking good. Jesus wants you to get married. That's what Jesus wants. Extended bit this week for the council listeners. We have got some hero questions coming up. Some great chat about pilots, about fry up combinations, having a breakfast at home, the type of bastards that ask for scrambled eggs. There is a in-depth discussion about the heroes, in my mind, the great men, the forgotten men of Scotland, who left pornographic material in bushes for young boys to find. An in-depth discussion about that, a question from the great and powerful Si Anderson. So if you want to hear the rest of this episode in its entirety, which runs for an hour and 10 minutes, whatever 10 minutes, then become a hashtag hero. Sign up on Patreon, patreon.com/thehashtagshow, and you will get this episode in full and every single episode from now until the end of time. You'll also get access to the back catalogue, so you can go back and enjoy all the amazing episodes from the past. So sign up now, patreon.com/thehashtagshow, become a hashtag hero, stop living like a scumbag, and you can continue to enjoy every single minute of the show. So when you're at work or the gym or the swing club and somebody's saying, did you hear that conversation that Gibbo had about the guys who used to put pornos in the bushes? And you can go, no, I didn't, because I'm a fucking scumbag. Become a hashtag hero. You deserve it. patreon.com/thehashtagshow. Sign up for pennies. It's pennies. Change your life. Support the show. Chucky Allah. We are the people. See you soon. Almost.
Hi, everybody. Thank you. Good night. Good night. Good night.
Good night.
I love you. Okay.
The hashtag show.co.uk.